sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I'll sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God and I will praise him, my Father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is God and I will praise him, my Father's God and I will exalt him. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God and I will praise him, my Father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is God and I will praise him, my Father's God and I will exalt him. And I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for triumph joyously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God and I will praise him, my Father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is God and I will praise him, my Father's God and I will exalt him and I will exalt him and I will exalt him. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, is grace sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, is grace sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Great is the Lord pray in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, joy of the whole earth. Here's Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Here's Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. The rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. The rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord, praise all ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The rising of the sun till the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. The rising of the sun till the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord, servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Here's Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. One more time. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Here's Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is great, and He is greatly to be praised. Amen. All right, Sue, why don't you go ahead?
Good morning, everybody. I want to read out of John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Those few verses have come to mean something incredible to me, as I chose to go into discipleship specifically, because recognizing that I had someone to turn to, that I could always turn to Jesus, but that I had people who were in authority over me, who I could turn to for counsel, who I could turn to for correction. I don't know about anyone else, but it's not pleasing to be corrected, to my flesh anyway. It is most uncomfortable. But what I have found over time is when I am corrected and chastened in the Lord, it builds a renewed zeal for the Lord, and it builds a confidence in His love for me, because He actually put people there to give me the correction. I don't know, I'm a homeschooling mom, and I don't know about other homeschooling moms, but there are days, many, many days, that I feel like a complete failure. And this week I went to visit Davy and Robin, and my daughter was reading and struggling to read. It was a simple word, but she was struggling to read it. And my daughter was chastened first for why she wasn't reading better, because she should, by all accounts, be reading better. Then I was chastened. It would have been okay with me if it had stopped with my daughter. But I knew that it had to come to me as well, because it is my responsibility to teach her. And instead of defending myself and saying, well, you know, she just doesn't or whatever, I spoke the truth, which was, I have failed my daughter. I did wrong by her for a very, very long time, and I am moving to correct that, but it's taking time, and it is slow, and it is uncomfortable because it is slow. And sometimes I want to quit because it's slow and just say there's no hope. The correction I was given was, or the words that came were given to me were, well, that was then, this is now, move forward. And that was encouraging, because that's the Lord. When the Lord corrects us, it's not always, I mean, sometimes the consequences are harsh. And the consequences for me not doing right by my child are that I struggle now, and that she struggles now. Because if I had started teaching her earlier, when I was supposed to, it wouldn't be as much of a struggle now. She would get the basics. So the correction I got wasn't as firm as I thought it might be. But that's just an example of our loving God, and how He doesn't just come to correct and punish. He comes so that you can learn. He came so that we could learn to do His will, to do His ways, to choose to do right, to choose to do that which is pleasing to Him. Anne mentioned today in her service a song that has been on her mind this week, Casting Crowns, The Voice of Truth. And I really like that song. Not because the beginning of it sounds a little mopey to me. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat. Well, okay. Oh, what I would do. Well, get up and do it is kind of my attitude. But then it says, the voice of truth tells me a different story to what my mind tells me, what the enemy tells me. Oh, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. You know what? If you're focusing on yourself and your ability, you are right, you will never win. But the voice of truth says we can. Jesus is the voice of truth. And He says that we're able. There's a song that's been on, that came to me this morning, that I really like. It's called Only a Mountain, and it's by Jason Castro. It goes, it's also a little bit mopey and woe is me, but we've all been there in that situation. It says, another day, another fight. It always feels like an uphill climb. another step, another mile, the story of your life. It's harder than you ever thought, and it costs you everything you've got. When you're back against the wall and you feel like giving up, this is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Tell it to move, and it'll move. Tell it to fall, and it'll fall. His word says so. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Tell it to move, and it will move. Tell it to fall, and it will fall. You've got to find a second wind. It's not as high as you think it is. Don't give up, and don't you quit. You've got to climb if you want to win. If you want to reach that goal, you have to fight to reach that goal. There's an element in most of us today that is, we want it the easy way. We want everything the easy way. We want it handed to us, and we want it simple. If we can take shortcuts, we take shortcuts. But if it is worth fighting for, then it's worth it. If it is something that is, if your faith in Christ, if my homeschooling of my daughter is a priority of mine, and doing it right so that she has the foundation to go forward in her life, if that is a priority, then make it a priority. Keep your eyes on Him and determine to push forward. The thing that I have found most helpful in the years past, like the most recent years when I've actually turned to the light, taken those issues that overwhelm me and overcome me, where you feel like, oh, I can't do this. I'm not able. Take it to your authority. I've gone to my husband and I've said, I don't know if I can do this. And he'll tell me very point blank, you're going to side with that? What does the word say about that? Does the word say you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Or does it say you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you when you can, or when you're not exhausted, or when you don't have guests in the house, or when it doesn't relate to your homeschooling of your 7-year-old? No. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In myself, I am not able, but in Him, I am. And it's very easy to focus on my shortcomings. I don't think I'm a good wife. I don't think I'm a good mother. I don't think I'm a good homeschooling teacher. Well, so what? Who cares? Doesn't matter if I'm good. It matters if He is, and He is. And He is able. So when I'm not, I need to keep turning to Him. And you exercise your faith. That's what Steve was talking about this morning. Exercise is not, woohoo, I'm going to exercise. I can't wait to get on the treadmill. No. It's more like, oh, crap, I've got to get up and go exercise. But you have to push through that because it does get easier. And exercising your faith, it starts with the little things. Do you have faith? Something Davey said this morning during South Carolina service was, many Christians see God as bigger or as big, but they don't see Him willing to do it for them. That is a form of pride. I know because I have done it myself. We need to get past our shortcomings and stand in the recognition of how great a God we serve and His ability to perform. Ricky sang a song a few minutes ago. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Robin testifies of when the Lord showed her, even for me. You know, the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. His grace is sufficient for the wretch like me. This may all just be a sermon to me, from the Lord to me, for me to push through and to be more diligent and faithful and to follow through and to fight. But it is a battle and it is a fight. And we have to remember to use the word as our defense, not to be overtaken by what the world says, by what we feel, by what our flesh tells us. or what the enemy throws at us. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. If the Lord has something for me to accomplish today, I am able to perform it today. If there's more to that task that comes tomorrow, then praise God, tomorrow's another day and we'll deal with that tomorrow. But today, He is my provider and He is able.
You know, one thing I'll just say, hon, in that last little bit, the Word is not our defense. The Word is our offense. Faith, yes, faith, the shield of faith, that is our defense. The sword of the Word of God, which is a sword, that is our offense, and that is what we use to take the fight to the enemy. We have our shield of faith, and that is what we lean on, we trust in, we believe in, we know that all the stuff that comes against us is not true. And then we have the Word of God that fights against that and combats that, and we can cut down all those things that would come against us because the Word of God says different. You see the difference there? Okay. All right. I have some very strange scriptures we're going to start with today. And I don't know quite where it's all going to go. Everything all right? Okay. All right. So start with Genesis chapter 4. Let's see, verse 3. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop right there for a moment. There is a dramatic distinction when you offer that which is of your flesh to the Lord, and when you offer that which is of the Spirit to the Lord. When you offer that which is of your flesh, it will never be accepted. It will absolutely never be accepted. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care how long you've been going to church. I don't care how much you read your Bible or how many hours a day you pray. If you are offering that which is of your flesh, it will never be accepted. And it's very interesting as we come down here and we see how Cain got very upset about it. How many times have you done something seemingly for the Lord and not work out, not be accepted, not be recognized, not whatever it is? And then you get upset about it. You get mad. You get frustrated. Not appreciated. You start letting that little voice in the back of your head start talking to you about how you don't deserve to be treated this way, etc., etc. Lord said to Cain something very interesting here. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So here we are. Takes me to a scripture over in Romans that talks about our authorities in the Lord. And if we do that which is right, we'll receive praise of those authorities of the Lord. If we don't, well, we're going to suffer the consequences of that. I was dealing with my daughter this morning. And she's been struggling of late. And I'm looking at her struggle and I'm seeing the struggles of many, many Christians. See, the struggle that she's having is the struggle of the overwhelming desire to do her own thing. And yet, she's being asked to do those things which are not her thing, but somebody else's thing. And in the middle of that, she gets very angry and upset, throws a temper tantrum, etc. And in those moments, there seems to be no reasoning with her. She's seven. There's no need to reason with her. Do as I told you because I said so. But she doesn't understand that the fight she's having, the struggle that she's going through, is simply because she hasn't really surrendered and accepted the fact that she's not her own. I look back at my life and I start looking at the various times where I had the greatest struggles, where I had the biggest issues or the biggest problems, or I was the angriest with my father, whatever it would be. And it was always those times where I was about my thing. You know, what set Jesus apart so thoroughly was that he did and said those things which the Father gave him to do. And because that was his heart was to do those things without reservation. Then there was no struggle, there was no fight, there was no argument. He simply did them. This is not an unattainable place for us to be. I've watched people recently, and I can name their names. The Bible talks about mark those that do well, and I'll tell you that the testimony of both Karen and Robin is phenomenal to me. They'll probably get embarrassed for me saying so, but that's all right. But the testimony is that when they were given the thing to do, didn't matter. It could be cleaning out rat droppings and feces and urine out of a camper. And they did it joyfully. Of course, I wasn't there all the time. Maybe they weren't completely joyful, but I certainly didn't ever hear any complaint out of it. It didn't matter what the task at hand was. If there was service to be done, they were not begrudging the service. They were thrilled to be of service. See, Cain was all upset because his service wasn't accepted. The reason it wasn't accepted is because it wasn't acceptable in the first place. It wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't what he wanted. And Cain wanted to do things his way versus God's way. And that is never, ever acceptable. See, we struggle. I'll talk about Christians in general. Struggle because the core foundation of the goodness of God seems impossible for them to believe. I'll go back to Naomi just a minute here. I don't give her things to do simply so I can watch her struggle and toil and be miserable. I give her things to do in a certain way and a reason behind it that she is too young to understand, nor is it profitable for me to try and explain it to her. It doesn't matter. I said, do it. Do it. But she doesn't believe that I actually have her best interests at heart. And Christians don't believe that God has their best interests at heart. That's why they don't want to come to the light. They think they're going to be better at running their lives than God, despite all the proof to the contrary. Jesus is the most perfect example. He is the mark that we aim for. And it says about Jesus over in Hebrews. Let me get there quickly. This is Hebrews 12. Nope. Hebrews. Yes, it is. Pardon me. There it is. I get used to a particular Bible and I know where the scripture is on the page, you know, and it wasn't there since I was on the wrong page. Verse 2, look, Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God, excuse me. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The phrase that just kind of hits me is for the joy that was set before him. When you look at what he endured on the cross, how do you get joy out of that? It's because he looked beyond the cross to the result of that sacrifice, to the fulfillment of the plan and the redemption of mankind. That was the joy. And he was willing to go through and do whatever was necessary to accomplish that goal, because he was about his Father's thing and not about his thing. If we can really grab hold of just how good God is and how trustworthy he is and how righteous he is and how loving he is, then maybe, just maybe, we'll get an inkling of what Jesus understood and be able to walk like he walked. In fact, isn't that what the Bible says? That if we believe, we should also walk as he walked. That was about his Father's business, not his own. See, the times where we struggle, the times where we get upset, the times where we argue and fight and struggle with doing those things which God gives us to do, it's because we're still in the flesh. See, if you've chosen to side with the Spirit, if you have set your allegiance with the Spirit, there's no struggle. There is no struggle. It no longer has dominion over you. But if you are yet trying to sort of placate God with a sacrifice of the flesh and yet living to your flesh, you are never going to be accepted. And that's why it's a continuous frustration for people that try and live in that place where they're trying to gain God's approval and gain God's acceptance by all manner of things and tasks and chores and whatever, and yet never seem to, quote, get there, is because they've never done that which is acceptable to God. See, what is that thing which is acceptable to God? Is it how many hours you read your Bible? Is it how many hours you pray? Is it how many hours that you're out, you know, talking to people in the bys and bys? Not that any of those things are things we shouldn't want to do, but they are not the things that save you. They are not the things that count you as righteous. You cannot look at all those things, check a checkbox off, and at the end of the day say, hey, I've done it. That expressly is the sacrifice of Cain, because in some measure in your mind, you are trying to yet earn your way. I hear a phrase offered up many times by Christians, and it's the phrase, enough. Have I done enough? You can never do enough. It's impossible. If you're trying to live in a place of enough, you will never be acceptable to God. Ever. When Naomi wakes up in the morning, she is my daughter. When she went to bed the night before, she was my daughter. She doesn't have to fulfill some sort of list to then be my daughter. She is my daughter. We are his children if we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. We are his adopted sons and daughters. Are we not? If you're still trying to earn your place of adoption, you've missed the point. You've missed the point of his sacrifice. You've completely... It's like he signed the paperwork, you're living in the house, and you're still saying, hey, can I be adopted? You've missed the point. God is so good. All he is looking for you is to believe him. Steve has mentioned over and over in the last several weeks in his sermons, and he talked about he gave a plaque or something to Jeannie when she first started, and it said, believe on it. He wrote it on a piece of paper for Scott. You know, he said, I could drill it down into one word, and Scott's like, oh, Scott Bishop. Oh, let me know. What can it be? What is it? It's believe. It's one word. Believe. What was the problem with the children of Israel in the desert? They didn't believe. We sang a song this morning, and I was trying to hold back the tears in it because the Lord was just showing me things in his goodness and his mercy and his deliverance, and it was like fresh water poured on a parched ground. I don't know how to describe it other than that. But it's a song of Moses. And we go over to Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. This song of Moses happened right after they got out of Egypt. The Lord delivered them with a great deliverance. The Lord has delivered us with a great deliverance. The hold that the enemy could have to drag you back under his control has been destroyed. The army of Pharaoh was destroyed. Egypt couldn't have compelled the Jews to come back if they wanted to, because their strength had been destroyed by the provision of God. The enemy's hold on you, if you will receive it, has been destroyed. He cannot compel you back, because the blood of Jesus has destroyed that hold. You are acceptable to God if you believe him. That's it. Believe him. You're acceptable. Now, if you understand the goodness of God, and you understand the mercy of God, and you understand the love of God, then it is going to be the natural result of understanding that and knowing that, that you're going to live your life for him. It's not about adding Jesus to your life. It's not about doing a list of things to be acceptable. That is expressly going to make you unacceptable because you have stopped trusting and believing on Jesus and his sacrifice and his blood. And you've started believing back on a list again. There was a great scripture, There's a great scripture in the New Testament. Jesus had just fed the 5,000 and just, you know, done some miracles. And people walk up to him and they say, "What do we have to do to do the works of God?" And he said something that was revolutionary. Believe on him who he has sent. Isn't that the secret word that Steve wrote on the paper for Scott? Isn't that the word that Steve gave to Jeannie? Isn't that the word that we've been given? Believe. Believe. Isn't it the word that, gosh, we were given back in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11:6? I don't want to misquote it, so I'm going to go back and read it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's that word, believe. We can see this, we can see how this works, played out in our just average life. If you're a parent, or you're a husband, or you're, you get it. If your wife believes that you are seeking your family's best interest, and she's not going to fight you on the decisions you make. If your children believe that you're looking out for them in their best interest, they're not going to fight you on the things you ask them to do. But if they don't believe, guess what? There's going to be a fight. And it's that way with our relationship with God. If we believe, then there is no fight. Doesn't matter if you're cleaning toilets. Doesn't matter if you're cleaning up rodent droppings and feces and urine out of a camper. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're traveling for the Lord. Doesn't matter if you have to set up a trailer or dump the sewage out of a trailer. Doesn't matter if you have to go fishing. Yeah, sometimes the Lord may actually have you go fishing. Sometimes he may have you play a video game. Sometimes he may have you go out and fly a model airplane. Sometimes he may have you shoot an air gun. Sometimes he may have you set up a shooting range in your backyard so you can shoot with people that you would never have thought of having a possibility of relationship with. See, if you believe God, you're going to be quick to do the things he gives you, and you're not going to argue with him. It's not going to be an argument. And if you believe God, you're going to believe the authorities put over you. And there's not going to be an argument. Now, people talk about their flesh struggling in that. Yeah, it's never going to accept God. It's just not going to happen. But the whole point of us crucifying the flesh is that it doesn't have dominion over us anymore. Just because it feels a way doesn't mean we have to agree with it. It does not have to control you. I'm learning a few things, I hope. And that is, walking with the Lord is much simpler than I had previously understood it to be. It is not complicated. It is not some hidden mathematical equation that only the uppermost smartest people can understand. No, it's expressly the opposite. Those people will never understand the simplicity of the gospel. Because it just comes down to one thing, believe. One thing, believe. Just believe. That's it. There's nothing more. Just believe. It's that simple. If you try and make it anything other than that, it's going to tend to legalism, which is the opposite of the gospel. Oh, how simple the gospel and gift of Jesus Christ. Oh, how simple.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. And renew a right. right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, oh, the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Amen. May y'all have a great week, and may the Lord bless you.